My name is Heidi Hess-Von Ludwig. I'm a principal program manager at Red Hat and an Open Org ambassador. And I'm here today with Tracy Giuliani. She is an industrial organizational psychologist, and she focuses on connective workplaces that support and improve associate engagement and all the benefit it brings to organizations. Braxton's here with us, and he is the director of pricing for a nationwide U.S. insurance company. He's been with the company for 11 years and has held positions in numerous functions. He received his undergraduate business degree from North Carolina State University and an MBA in international business from UNC Chapel Hill. Since completing his MBA, he's focused on finding and understanding new ways to motivate and engage associates at all levels of their careers, and that focus has brought him here today. So welcome, Braxton and Tracy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And last but not least, we have our friend Brian Berenshausen, who wants to remain silent, but I won't let him. He's the managing editor of the Open Organization, and he wrangles us ambassadors, and he's just an all-around awesome guy extraordinaire. So thank you for helping us create this interview.
Happy to hold the microphone.
So we wanted to start here today, Braxton, by kind of talking a little bit about what your interpretation of open management means. Some time ago, Brian and I had given you a workshop about the open values. And so we're curious, what does that mean to you when we talk about open values integrating with your management role and practices?
So it's a great question, just to give everybody a little background. The first time I heard about open was, so I'd heard about Red Hat before as a company, but never the cultural aspect that is open. And I was exposed to it through an executive education program where we came and did a site visit, and with a bunch of different constituents, we all listened to kind of the Red Hat cultural experience that is open. And it really resonated with me, just as seeing the passion, the impact it had on your overall business, both from a employee engagement, but then just a general performance standpoint. And so I very quickly saw the value in it. Then that's when brought my team back to do the workshop you referenced, Heidi. And that's when it really started to sink in. So I had some follow-up conversations with you guys and really started to, I saw, okay, open can have value. Now how do I define it for myself and understand it? And really when I think about the shift in mindset that I had to process through, I guess, to get to open, it went really from moving from a place where I was the one trying to always have the answer. So in my career, I've been successful at being the one that was able to answer questions. But as I've grown in roles and seen people that are successful and not successful, what I found is, and what I think open reinforces, is there's a big value in being the person that sets up the environment that helps people find answers for themselves, as opposed to being the one that says, oh no, here's the answer and I know the answer, so you're good. And that has a lot of benefits. And what I saw was Red Hat at one end of the continuum of being excellent at that, and a real opportunity for my team and my organization to try and take some of those practices and move up that continuum of open.
Yeah, like what I hear from kind of like the innovation perspective is opening up the idea of who the expert is, right? And kind of sharing that among all the different team members, you yourself included, right? Like expert, I want to say facilitator, it's more than that as a manager, but that's kind of what's resonating with me at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's a good distinction that we've historically, in a lot of industries, I don't want to say just the insurance industry, we've operated in the sense that the person who does the job the best, the best expert, if you will, is the person who moves up to lead the team. That's what you see in a lot of traditional business functions. And open kind of, I think, turns that on its head a little bit in saying, like, the person who's the best at doing this task may not be the person who's best at supervising a group of people doing that task. And we'll talk about a little more. There was, I think, a question that you guys had, just to give people some context on the dynamic of my team. So my team isn't a group of folks who all do the same thing. So it's like in some roles in some companies, like there's a team of call center experts, or there's a team of processors, and they all do the same process just to some scale. My team has unique individuals doing unique, disparate tasks. So it's not a one size fits all. What does open mean for each of them? And so that's been interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm curious, what are some of your open management practices now that you kind of understand a little bit more what open means? You know, like, what are things that you changed?
Yeah, so we've been on this journey for about a year and a half, and so it's been evolving. And I'm sure if you ask me this question in 18 months from now, I'd have a different answer. So I break it down into a couple different things. So one, first, like personally, I ask myself a different question. So I think one of the fundamental things I realized about open very early on was its relationship with information. So open is about moving information out to the organization and giving people the opportunity to really digest, ingest it, and understand it. And so I find myself asking a different question than I did 24 months ago. And it's nuanced, but it's pretty powerful, or has been powerful, in the response I've gotten. Before, I'd ask, okay, who else needs this information? And the answer to that was always, not many people. Like, my boss may need it, one person on my team may need it, but that's it. Like, let me just get it to them and we're good. It's going through open, I've started asking myself a different question. Who would be interested in this information?
Right.
And it's just a one-word change, but it impacts a lot of, like, I've sent it to 3 people or 15 people. And what I found is, or what I've experienced, found is probably the wrong word. I'm sure you guys are have found it as well. What I've experienced is the feedback has been very positive. The people, let's say I send it to 15 instead of 3. Well, the 3 get it, obviously. I think they're going to be interested because they need it. And then 5 others say, hey, thanks, this was really helpful. And the rest maybe don't read the email. And that's fine. No, but that incremental 5 additional people who either it helped inform their thinking or they helped inform my thinking has been really valuable. And so that's kind of a real tangible, just something I've done relative to open. As a people leader, I've tried to shift my time, and this goes back to kind of what open means to me, away from doing and spending more time on sharing. So really saying, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to step out of it a little bit and empower my team and give them the context, share with them all the information I can, so they can do it or they can answer the question.
Do you have do you have an example of that you could share with us a little?
Sure. So, and it's not a specific example, but it's a set of behaviors that have happened over and over. People will come into my office and ask a question, and my natural response, so my team also went through DISC, and so we learned about each other to understand. My natural response is, oh, you have a problem. I'm going to solve it for you, and you'll be happy, and I'll be happy, and everyone will feel good, and you can go on to the next thing. And that is true in a sense, but what open has helped, and again, I'll apologize now for the redundancies of using the word open. Open has opened my eyes to is the power of saying, okay, come into my office with a question. Let's talk through it. I could answer it for you, and that may be the fastest / most efficient way for both of us in the short term, but it doesn't actually help you from a development standpoint. It doesn't make you feel empowered. And so it's more of just a behavioral shift. As the people come in, they ask me questions, and I say, okay, you know what? I'll take the time. Let's run through it and see if I can get you to answer your own question, or can I point you to a place where I may have found information that would let me answer it, and now you go find that information and do the research and answer it yourself. So it's a behavioral shift, but that's a big one that I've tried to embrace. And it's not perfect, doesn't happen all the time, but it's we've been making good progress, and I've seen my team get more confident, take more actions without checking with me, which scares people at times, but I've built a lot of confidence in my team. Both I'm confident in them, and I think they become more confident in themselves.
So one of the things about being a manager is that you set that context for your team. You're setting the flavor tone of it. And so how have you supported open culture, creating an open culture on your team? And you've gone through an example of changing your behavior, but what are some other things you might have done?
Yeah, so I think I've talked a fair amount about what I've done, me personally, to try and be more open, to move my team to a more open team culture has been a journey that's also changed over time. So if you recall, I was here by myself with a kind of a random group of people, and I saw Red Hat's presentation, and I said, that resonated with me. And the first thing I had to do was go back and convince my boss that it was something worth bringing our entire team down to Red Hat to do. And so that was the first step. Like, I just had to advocate and say, I think this is valuable. At the time, we were a brand new team, so we were trying to define ourselves as a team. It was a new function in the organization. And so that was helpful, that he didn't have a preconceived notion. He was looking for some guidance there, and so we were able to do that. So the next step was bringing the whole team in and just saying, look, guys, I think this is interesting. You all listen to this, see what you think. And so we came and went through the workshop with you guys. And the next step was going back to the team and saying, okay, was that valuable? Do you guys think that makes no sense or all the sense in the world? Because we talked, I've talked with you guys a couple times, like open being forced down on people is not necessarily, or could almost be antithetical to the whole process.
Yes.
And so my biggest thing to do to champion open is to not force it. So it's to say, here's the value I see in it. Do you guys agree? Do you disagree? Do you see it in a different way being valuable? Asking those kind of questions. Mm-hmm. So that's been the biggest. And then it's, we've kind of shifted. So this goes to the change over time. My team has seen value in it. Now what I do more of, so going back to the sharing versus doing, is I ask them for ways, hey, what do you guys think we can do to be more open? So we've taken a couple kind of open surveys, like how open do we think our team is? How open do we think the company is? What are things you guys think we could do based on your survey feedback to be more open, as opposed to coming in and say, hey guys, I just got off the phone with Heidi and Brian. They said we should try this to be more open. Let's do it. Because that Braxton 2 years ago, that's how I would have done it. Mm-hmm. And so this journey has kind of changed how I would even champion open, mm-hmm. to not hopefully miss the point of open altogether.
Right. And like, so you mentioned a few changes that helped you, that you made your management style that helped you lead by example. Mm-hmm. Are there any other ones that kind of touch upon being more transparent or adaptable? There's that sense of community or collaboration or even inclusivity.
Yeah. So one that seemed to really resonate with the team, and it's one thing I'll say, and we may touch on it later as well, is open right now is pretty much isolated to my team. It hasn't, and maybe this is a bad word to use given the current context, but it hasn't infected the rest of the organization. and so trying to figure out how to make sure the culture on my team is what I want it to be, and what I think is best, has been not a challenge, but important to me. And so one of the things we do is we have weekly staff meetings, and 1 month out of the week, we go offsite. We get out of the building, we change the location, and the feedback, it seems almost now looking at like a small thing, but the feedback consistently from the team is they love that. They really enjoy it. We still talk about the same information. We're just in a different environment. Everyone's able to kind of relax, and it's just been really positive. So that's been just a saying, look guys, we're going to do something different. We're going to step outside and we're going to have this same meeting, but just in a different location. It's not quite in one of the pillars, but it was something that when I thought about, okay, being more open about feedback, being transparent about what we want to accomplish, like, and not necessarily doing things the way we'd always done them. It seemed to fit really well.
Yeah, it's like kind of arguable about being inclusive about different people's styles,
exactly,
of sharing or environment preferences,
yeah,
or just, yeah, yeah, that cognitive, you know, the ability to kind of just step away from things and just grow your responses and ideation and stuff like that.
So. Absolutely. And that's one that was an eye opener for me, and open, I think, really helped me with this. So like I mentioned, since we're a new team, we all did personality tests just to kind of see how we all were. And my team is somewhat homogenous and I am very different. So they all like information ahead of time. They want to chew on it. They don't like being put on the spot. And I am the opposite. I'm like, ask me a question, I'll give you an answer right then, as I've kind of alluded to. And so open has really helped me as a structure to make sure I'm giving them the information they need. If I had a team of me's, I don't know that open would work. We'd just be going, whatever you need, fine, just move on to the next thing. But for a team of folks who likes kind of that information to chew on it, to digest it, and then to discuss and think about it, this has been really helpful.
You know, after you mentioned the workshop that Brian and I gave, and so after that you went and you spoke to your team, and did they want to start with any particular values? Was there a focus on one or two? Because we can talk about being open, but that kind of encompasses those five things. So I'm curious, did you guys zero in on any particular ones?
So transparency was probably the biggest one for us. And that goes back to the communication. So we're in a dynamic market. We're moving fast. Decisions are being made quickly. And we tended to use that as an excuse for not everybody being on the same page. And that's what I would say it is. It was an excuse, not necessarily the right thing or had to be that way. And so to your point, another thing we've done from an example action standpoint is the senior leadership team meets every week. And we everyone in the business sends updates, and they kind of get whittled down to key points. The senior leadership team discusses them, and then that discussion notes gets disseminated back out to the organization. Now, what I found recently is that that goes all the way down to my team, the individual contributors, but in other parts of the organization, it doesn't always matriculate all the way down. So even within within our company, we don't have the same level of openness. But so that's where my team wanted to focus first, was on openness. On transparency. Mm-hmm. But I alluded to that open survey we did early on, and we had work to do everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of let's just try and really work on it and take ideas for any of the pillars.
For different things. Mm-hmm. Just a side question, yeah. One of the kind of complaints, if you will, that sometimes being more transparent elicits is that it's too time consuming. Mm-hmm. Did you find that the more transparent you guys were, that it took more of your time, or it worth it, or the trade-off worth it?
Yeah, and that was probably one of our biggest obstacles to open. And it was one of my concerns initially, but again, I looked at it like, if Red Hat can do it and be successful, we could probably figure out something. And so I had different levels of adoption or excitement on my team. And there were some people who were just like, you know what, I just don't think this is going to be worth it. And again, pre really committing to open, I would be like, well, look, just do it anyway. And like, come on, like, don't be negative. But thinking about open, it's like, okay, I get that. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it as a team. The people who want to engage in it, you guys engage in it. If someone doesn't, that's okay. I mean, it doesn't derail everybody else from doing it. And what we got to, so again, kind of this process is, at this point, everyone's pretty much bought in. So people's adoption curve was different, but everyone got there. And so that's kind of where now I go to, like, the ideas for being more open are coming from my team, not from me. One thing I did do, it could maybe counteract something I mentioned earlier with top down. I did mandate, for lack of a better word, everyone put in their kind of annual goals. So for me, from a manager compensating and evaluating their performance, everyone needs to bring up at least one idea in a year of how we can be more open. Mm-hmm. So not saying it has to be X or it has to be a certain pillar, but mm-hmm. now at this point, you guys all, and that was kind of everyone agrees that that's okay to be a performance goal. So actually, I mean, the team agreed that they wanted that as a goal. So I said, guys, I want to do this. I don't want to just mandate it in the fullest sense, but I'm going to evaluate you on it at the end of the year. And they're like, okay, that works. Yeah, I think we can do that. So
that's amazing.
So we've got it woven into our performance goals.
Our current CEO, Jim Whitehurst, wrote a column in which he calls that organizational jujitsu, because he says the art of jujitsu is the art of using the opponent's momentum and strength against himself. Right. So you're not necessarily overpowering the opponent, but using the opponent's strengths to their disadvantage. Right. Yeah. And so he says it's a case of organizational jujitsu where you use the hierarchy and the power of the hierarchy to enforce openness. Yeah. Right. So in that way, you use the typical hierarchical practice of goal setting and performance and development and sort of mandating performance goals, of course, in an open collaborative way, but like using the hierarchical practice of performance and development to embed openness and a demand for openness in the organization. So he would like that example.
Yeah, and that was to your point, mandate's probably the wrong word, but yeah, as I explained how I used it. Like if someone had come to me on my team and said, you know what, I'm really just not bought into this openness thing. I'm not comfortable being managed or my performance evaluated on it, then I wouldn't have included it. And so it's kind of as we moved through the process, the adoption curve kind of got there for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And so just as one last question, from me, I'm just curious about, you know, kind of based on your experience and your own growth, kind of from a conventional manager to a more open manager, if you will, what do you think people misunderstand the most about open culture?
So you alluded to it in your previous question. I may not have answered it very well, but it's the cost benefit. So I think people do the cost benefit math incorrectly because they misunderstand open. So to your point in the previous question you asked, well, it takes a lot of work and a lot of time to be open. Yes, to a certain extent. If you start where traditional companies start, think insurance companies, finance companies, whatever, and you want to be like Red Hat, yeah, you're going to spend a ton of time and energy trying to get to this point, and it's going to be painful. What you guys helped me learn and helped my team learn is that open doesn't look the same for everybody. And you had some really interesting examples about, in some ways, the U.S. government is open because they share all salaries. In other ways, this company is open because they do something different. And that really helped me and my team get comfortable with, we can make open our own. Mm. And we don't, it's not that we're trying to turn our group or our company into Red Hat. It's that we want to drive some of the benefit that some of these practices do. So there is a little more work. So the examples I gave, putting notes together on a weekly basis and sending it up, like that's some work that you have to do. But there's the 5 minutes my team does, and people push back on it initially. I said, look, is it taking you more than 5 or 10 minutes every week? And the answer was no. It's like, okay, well then let me explain to you, or do a better job explaining to you, the value I get out of this, the value that our SVP of pricing gets out of it, and the value our CEO gets out of it. Do you think with that kind of value creation, it's worth the 5 or 10 minutes? And that kind of got people there. And then what I mentioned about not just saying, okay, you come into my office, you ask me a question that I can answer for you in 5 minutes, or I spend 20 minutes helping you figure it out on your own. In the most basic sense, and this kind of goes back to your theory of management, people engagement development, that takes more time, that's less efficient. But the benefits I've seen in doing it over time have been the growth in my people has actually saved me more time in the long run. I have to be in less meetings, I have to respond to less issues. And so that 15 minute investment a couple times a month, a week, pays me back hours 6 months down the road. Those are two big ones.
Yeah, that's amazing. And Tracy, that really speaks to the idea of associate engagement.
Yeah, the huge benefit is that return.
Yes.
That you see for your company, for yourself, but also for your team. Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned a lot of things along the way, and you've weaved in the whole engagement aspect along the way as well. But I really love this aspect of self-awareness that was done to understand one another. So when you took the DISC assessment, that was one step to really doing a lot of great things. And you've mentioned things around choice and purpose and information and empowerment and transparency. And all these things are huge aspects in environment even. To making sure that people are engaged or stay engaged. You've also mentioned that you've noticed some confidence improving, which also can help with their well-being and resilience, especially with the line of work that that your team is involved with. So a couple other questions I have are, have you noticed a difference in terms of effort, like in a discretionary way? Meaning like, you know, sometimes we're involved with some type of work or we're interacting with our team and we just look up the clock like, wow, when is this gonna end? Or sometimes we're really involved and excited and passionate, and so it seems like an hour just goes by and you didn't even notice it, and there's value given and there's all this excitement. Have you noticed any of that happening within your team?
So I've thought a lot about that question, like how to evaluate like before and after.
Yeah.
The issue, and so I can't give openness the credit, and I can't say openness isn't the cause, because our team basically formed and we started on the open journey about the same time.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say before we had done all this, X was happening, because we just weren't a group. What I will say is consistently, and some of the feedback I've gotten from the team is, there's folks, they'll say, we were here till 7 o'clock on Friday night. And when I say that right now, you think, man, they must have been complaining, because we got into something, we were excited, we wanted to solve it. Like we were both sitting in the cube and working through it. And that's happened multiple times. And so the team culture is very positive. And so I think open is a part of that. But it's hard for me to say like before and after, but I think the level of engagement is higher because of open. And I think the level of engagement drives that. I think if I wasn't sending out information as often, if I wasn't as conscious about teaching as opposed to doing, I think people would be less confident and less comfortable kind of going their own.
I love that. And so you did point out something very important, is that you did come together around the time that this started, so mm-hmm. it's hard to kind of give that comparison. But had you managed other teams before?
I had, and it was so Sorry, go ahead. Did you finish your question?
Because I was going to say, you said that you made the conscious effort to change how you were thinking, change what you were doing. And yes, these people might be different in terms of what they show up on for the disc mm-hmm. or other aspects. But do you feel like all these things that are happening in the environment that you're even putting out there now versus maybe with other teams has shown to be different?
I think that, yeah, so if I try to control for previous teams in different circumstances to this thing, then I would say so. I think one of the reasons Open resonated with me and why, so of the, I don't know, dozen, 15 people that saw the presentation during the executive education, they were from all over my company. No one else has done what my team has done. And that was something, it resonated with me because I was looking for it. I was searching for it. Coming from those other teams, something was missing. Like, it wasn't working as well as I thought it could be. And coming and sitting to the Red Hat session, that was when kind of a light bulb went off. Like, this is it. This is the key to the puzzle that we just can't seem to fire on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a part of it. I absolutely think so.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Braxton, for letting us interview you, and thanks, Tracy, for being here and giving us an associate engagement perspective. Thanks to Brian, who's been holding the recorder.
My pleasure.
And we'll see you in the next installment.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.